maybe somebody's seen some billboards around Phoenix or Tucson, but it's going to run through through November and December. And the reason we picked those numbers is historically we have a higher number of vehicle thefts and vehicle break-ins in December and January. So we wanted, because of the holiday season and things like that, we thought November, December, start getting the word out as best we can about locking your cars, taking the keys, things like that, not leaving, you know, gifts in the back seat, things that would be appealing to a thief. And so we have outdoor billboards that are static because they don't allow digital billboards in Tucson. So there's a couple locations down, I think maybe three locations in Tucson, and then locations around Phoenix where we have opted for digital billboards that cycle through with other ads that stay up for a while and then is replaced by the next ad. You know, it's pretty obvious why we would pick Metro Phoenix and Tucson. It's not that we don't think there's value in other parts of the state, but 87% of the vehicle thefts occur in those two MSAs. So it made sense, since it's a fairly high dollar campaign, it's $30,000, which is pretty significant for our budget and, when we talk about public awareness. We've also done a few things, and we'll show you some examples here in a second, where we're trying to drive some traffic to the website. So it seems like one of the things that people are interested in is what are the top 10 stolen vehicles, you know, in the state. And so we've teased that a little bit and put our website up there. And we have Google Analytics that Amanda is very familiar with, and we can monitor exactly on day-to-day who's going to the website. And we're hoping at this point to see an increase in the website, you know, people going on there. And once they get to the website, then we'll know exactly how long they stay, where they go, and things like that. So it'll be an interesting experiment. So with that, I'll turn it over to Amanda, and she can just run you through some quick slides. And
Okay. All right.
So what we have over on our Mondo pad is the current board. So we went with our first holiday one, just kind of poking a little fun out there. We've got our Bad Santa. Go ahead. These are all the different billboards. These first ones are digital. Let's go ahead and keep. And all of these can currently be seen. This particular one, go ahead and do the next one. This one and the next one are three of our static boards, and these are the three that are featured in Tucson, and they're also on our digital boards as well. We currently have three static boards in Tucson throughout the valley down there. And these are examples of them. These aren't actual images of those. We've just photoshopped them in for right now, but we've got Broadway and Euclid, I-10 and Ina, and Tangerine. And so particular areas we were looking for were areas of high commerce. So we were looking for shopping areas, people coming to and from shopping centers, where they're gonna be parking. Particularly on this one, it's all of our folks that are traveling down into Tucson with a truck. We wanted to go ahead and highlight that. It's a very large truck community. And as you've seen or probably have heard, we've had a lot of truck theft lately. So we definitely wanted to make that part of our campaign as well, with a Lock It campaign. In Phoenix, we have 11 digital boards throughout the city. Again, we focused on high commerce areas. So we picked several areas around the valley. You can see all of those areas by the little half circles through there, and we are all along the I-10 and I-17. So these are just a couple examples. We won't go through all 11, but just to keep it short, example of what they are and how they see. And those are the current boards that we have going
on. Thank you.
Are those images available on the website so we could store them and put them on our social media?
Yes, and I can make those as well. We have social media branded sites. So on your social media ones, they're a little bit different. They come in different size formats instead of having larger billboards. Mm-hmm. If you'd like it for a cover, we can adjust that for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do all of this, and when I say we, of course I mean Amanda, does all of this work in-house. And So she created the ads with input from staff. We tried to make that message very clear, something, because we know it's only going to flash, and we don't want, you know, people aren't going to have time to read it, so we want something up there that is impactful quickly, and maybe, you know, people can, we'll get them to the website, or at least plant a seed in their head about the behavior change that we're looking for. We've also made our website, I guess, say, more accommodating. So if people come on there because they want to see the trucks that are stolen or what the top stolens are, when you go to our website, that's right there. You don't have to go and dig around for it and look for it. So we're hoping to get them there, grab their attention quickly, but make it easy for somebody to navigate around with the website. So great job, Amanda. Thank you. And the last thing that I wanted to talk about was a little bit of a change from my last report. We had talked to DPS, who is the compiler of statistics and information about what's going on auto theft-wise through the crime in Arizona. And they gave us a number for what they were going to publish, and so that's what we reported. And then in a conversation subsequent, Frank learned that number had changed. And it changed because the FBI had asked for a recount for some reason of Arizona agencies. And unfortunately, when they recounted, the number went up. So we were showing a decrease. We had a couple years of an increase, and then we showed a decrease preliminarily, and now we're back to an increase in numbers. So we still don't have matching numbers, because you get these different publications, whether it be FBI report or crimes in Arizona, and we have, I think we're still working off a couple different numbers. We chose to go with the higher number because they are dissimilar, but even though they're reasonably close, but we went with the higher number. And the revised number for 2018 ended up being a 0.6% increase. And so what we're seeing is that the percentage of increase has slowed. Because in 2016, we had a 9% increase, which is, you know,
substantial.
Yeah, it is substantial. And then 2017, we had a 3% increase. 2018, that 0.6%. So that number today, at least the one that we're going with, is 19,139. And it was in the 18,700 or something before like that. So that was unfortunate, but at least maybe the percentage of increase is slowing a little bit, and we'll watch it closely. As far as Arizona's national rank, it didn't change much. We are still number 11 in total thefts, and in 2017, we were number 15 in the rate of vehicle theft, which is the number of thefts per 100,000. We have dropped to number 16 now, so we gained a place. Somebody eclipsed us, so that was good. Interestingly, and I think it speaks to the effort that's going on regionally now among southwestern states, and the reasons why we should be meeting with our partner states. 4 out of 5 of our neighboring states rank in the top 10 nationally as far as rate of theft. So. You know, to think that we're going to be immune from those increases, I think would be ill placed. So there's still a big problem here in the Southwest, and the only state that really showed a good decrease this year was Utah.
Correct.
And they fell substantially. So I think it probably counted differently or something. I'm not sure what's going on there, but so.
Yeah, quick question.
Yes, sir.
And I'll show my age here, but years ago there used to be a problem with the reporting process from agency to agency, and you know, Phoenix started doing something different. Are all the agencies doing the same reporting process now?
Well, I think I can't answer that directly. I'll just say, you know, I could answer it maybe anecdotally and say I would be surprised if there's complete uniformity in reporting. And I think that there's some things on the horizon as far as NIVERS that may clean that up a little bit, and which is National Incident-Based Reporting System. All states are going to be mandated to go to that reporting system for the FBI in 2021. And so Arizona's not there yet, although there are certain agencies that are NIVERS compliant right now. So it's all about cleaning that data, but I think to answer your question, the fact that the FBI goes in and does a recount and the numbers change, I think tells us that there's not a great deal of consistency among reporting agencies.
Thank you.
And Mr. Vice Chairman, members of the board, that concludes my report unless there is additional questions for me.
I just have one quick question. I just am looking real quick at your report. So from a prosecution standpoint, obviously the auto theft rate has gone down, which is great. But from a prosecution standpoint, the recoveries have gone up and the arrests have gone up. So I just, that's what I'm seeing here in your report, correct? So I'm just saying, like, we don't get less work from you guys because the auto theft rate is
No correlation.
Yeah, no, I think there's plenty of work for...
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I was confirming that that's what you guys are saying. Just when we talk about what we want to do from a prosecution standpoint, that the auto theft rate going down doesn't necessarily decrease the workload because the technology and everything that the detectives are using is making the other side perhaps go up.
Well, if I understood it correctly, the rate has not gone down. It's just slowed its increase, correct?
Yeah, I should have said it that way.
Mr. Vice Chairman, members of the board, I believe that that rate we would see is looking like it's kind of plateau. We're not seeing large spikes or large decreases or anything like that.
Still plenty of work today. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Vice Chairman, members of the board, the first item on under my list bullet point is the annual financial audit. And just as a refresher, we're required by statute to have an audit done every 2 years. We prefer to do it every year. It's just less disruptive to the agency to do it every year, and it's helpful for us. And once again, Heinfeld Meach has completed the audit, and Mr. Eric Taylor was the gentleman that oversaw the audit for the agency. And before I introduce him, I'd just like to thank Heinfeld Meach for their good efforts. Whenever you're involved in an audit, they can be, as you're well aware, very stressful, and they can also be disruptive to the workflow as the audit progresses. And in this case, neither came to pass. The audit was very smooth. There was very little disruption to the agency. And I would like to thank Heinfeld Meach and Eric and his staff for great working partners and for making the audits as non-invasive as possible. That you just hardly know they're here, and we conduct most of the business by email. They do get all the transaction folders that we have, but most of the audit is done in their office, and we have very little disruption of our workflow during the day. So without further ado, I'll go ahead and introduce Mr. Eric Taylor from Heinfeld Meach, and he can go ahead and go over the audit, and if you have any questions, he'll be happy to answer.
Thank you. Mr. Vice Chairman, members of the board, thank you for letting me be here again. We feel the same way. The staff, Mr. Meyer and his staff, they do a wonderful job of being prepared and ready for us. Makes the audit go really smooth. This year, we completed the audit again. On page one of your audit report is our independent auditor's report. And in there, we give our opinion. We receive an unmodified opinion, which means the financial statements we feel are presented fairly and all materially correct. And so that's the best opinion you can receive. After that are the financial statements. It looks like the auto theft authority is in good financial standing. You have a fund balance of almost $7.8 million. Your revenues exceeded your expenditures by $1.5 million this past year. Following that, there is a budget comparison statement that shows your budget to actual comparisons. You stayed within budget. Obviously, that's a good thing. And then following that are the notes to the financial statements, which are to be read kind of along with the financial statements to give you a little more description of the financial statements. With that, I can answer any questions you might have.
Any questions?
Any recommendations for changes or anything like that?
I don't think so. It seems you guys run a pretty tight ship here. We had no audit findings or anything that we, you know, have had recommendations for, so I think everything's in good shape.
Another question? Thank you.
Thank you. The next item, next bullet point for me would be the financial report as of October 31st, and I believe that everyone should have a copy of that. Go over a few of the schedules. The first schedule I'd like to go over is the fund balance report. Line one was the beginning fund balance at the beginning of the fiscal year, $4.4 million. The income as of October 31st, $3.3 million. Expenditures, $2.5 million. And we did have an adjustment from the prior of $83. That left us with a fund balance at the end of October of $5,282,939. Schedule two is the revenue breakdown, and this hasn't changed significantly since the last board meeting. Current year collections, $3.3 million. We've had investment income, line eight, of $34,517. Line 11, the total income to date, $3.3 million. Line 12, what we had invested with the state treasurer as of October 31st, $5,232,939. And once again, line 13 and 14 give you the rate of returns. The current yield 1 month is 2.38%, and the year to date, 2.45%. So we are making some decent money on our investments. Schedule 2.1 is a revenue analysis. This hasn't changed since the last board meeting, as the collection had already been completed by that point. So this will stay the same, and we'll see at the next board meeting in January, we'll start the collection, but I don't think we'll have any data at that point. Probably in March we'll have the data. Schedule three is just a breakdown by the appropriation, and I won't go through this one line by line. Schedule four is the one I'd like to just go over the activity summary. This breaks down different areas. Schedule four, line one is basically the lump sum. Line two is administrative cost. At the end of October, we had administrative expenses of $147,000. Line three is programs of public awareness, $63,000. And that left us with a total lump sum expenditures of both those indexes of $210,842. Line six starts the grant programs. Line seven, the task force grant, was at this point $1.825 million. Vertical prosecution, line eight, $465,000. And then we had a couple of other grants, professional training grant, $5,000. And the public awareness grant, line 11, $1,233. That left us with line 14, total grant expenditures, $2.2 million, almost 2.3. And total expenditures, including the lump sum and the grants, of $2.5 million. And the last two items, line 16 and line 17, line 16 is the ratio of admin costs to actual income, and that we're capped at 10% by statute, and at current rate we're at 4.37%. Line 17 is administrative expense as a percent of total expenditures, and we're at 5.87% for that one, and we're pretty much right on track for our expenses. Schedules 5 through 9 break down different areas and program areas. I won't go through those schedules individually. The last schedule I want to talk about in the financial report is Schedule 10. This is the non-appropriated funds from metal management. We began the year with a balance of $1,272. Line 3, we did have miscellaneous income. We had a refund of $160. That left us with a total of fund balance of $1,432. And if you look down at line 11, we were lucky enough to have DPS request a grant just in that amount, $1,432 for the AADI seminar. And if you'll notice, what we've been trying to do for about 8 years or so, that fund balance is now zero. So we have no money in the Sims Metal Management account. But it, just to go over that a little bit, we really got a lot of bang for the buck out of that account. A lot of training over the years was funded by that Sims account. We started with $150,000, and we did a lot of training off that. So even though we're at zero, we did good with the money we did have. So I think it was well spent. Unfortunately, going forward, we won't have that money for training, but we've been trying to get that to zero for a long time, and finally we have done it. So I guess we should thank DPS for putting in the grant for the exact amount that we needed.
Or the grant manager.
Or the
sorry.
Grant manager.
Sorry. They might have known what number to ask for.
The last schedule I'd like to go over is Schedule 11. That's the spending plan. I haven't made any changes in the spending plan since the last board meeting. We just executed the approved plan. And just a couple of numbers. Once again, in October, we did fund the task force, $912,000. We funded vertical prosecution, $232,000. And we did have an additional professional training grant of $5,000 that also went to DPS for the seminar coming up in June. The one number I would like to point out, because I'm going to use that in just a second, in December, on line 24, if you'll notice, there's $7,145 left. That's the amount of money we have left in the local grant appropriation to fund grants up to Q2. And we're going to use some of that as we present the Gilbert grant here in just a minute. So just keep that in mind. $7,100 is what we have left for Q2 to fund grants. And if you just kind of take a look at the spending plan, our projected fund balance at the end of the year, at the end of June, is $5.9, almost $6 million. And as you're well aware, we're collecting more money than we can currently spend, so that fund balance is going to kind of keep growing. And Mr. Vice Chair, I think what I'd like to do is at least get an approval to continue with the spending plan as presented. I haven't made any adjustments really since the last time, but I think it's good each board meeting to get an approval to continue with our spending plan.
So we just need to ratify the spending plan.
Yeah, I think that we normally get the approval to continue, basically.
Mm-hmm. And, as presented.
Yeah, as presented, yeah. Okay.
Do we have a motion to ratify the spending plan for the remainder of fiscal year, is it 20?
Correct,
yeah.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Major Johnson.
I'm sorry. I said.
Okay. Thank you. Any opposed? Okay, we have ratified that.
The last item on my list is a public awareness grant from the Gilbert Police Department, and I'd like to go through the grant structurally, and then maybe Chief Silver could come in and and clear up any questions. Gilbert Police Department put in a public awareness grant number 1871, and I believe you should have a memo to that effect
mm-hmm.
somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Blue tab. Blue tab.
And this was a little bit of a different type of grant than we've funded throughout the years. The grant request was to develop a marketing campaign to increase awareness among Gilbert residents of steps they can take to reduce the chance of becoming victims of vehicle burglaries. It's my understanding that Gilbert's had a real significant increase in vehicle burglaries. And they'd like to go ahead and initiate a program named Over the Top Marketing to target some of the Gilbert residents to make them more aware of things like locking your vehicles, taking your valuables out, certainly taking the weapons out, things of that nature. And I'm not as up on all the technology of how to do all this stuff, but I believe they can target specific folks in Gilbert with a message to go ahead and make them aware of the benefits of keeping your vehicle locked. I understand that a lot of the criminal activity in vehicle theft and burglary is because people aren't locking their vehicles. And so if you just take a simple step like that, that would maybe help the problem. And there is a printout. Gilbert did a very good job, and Vicki did a real nice job of putting a program together for the marketing campaign, and it was real helpful to go through that. Their total grant request was $6,600. The staff recommendation is to fully fund the grant. We're pretty excited. It's a little bit different for us, and hopefully we'll get some good metrics back in the next 3 months, 6 months, whatever, to verify that this has been an effective program. And just to go back over some of the numbers, the Q2 remaining appropriation for grants, we had $7,100 left. So this grant will fit well underneath that. We'll have about $500 left in granting. It's only for Q2. Now Q3, we'll get the other appropriation. So this being the last board meeting of the year, I don't see any other grants being funded by the end of Q2. So I think that should not cause any problems. And just for the board, general information, currently available, this would go all the way through the fiscal year, not just Q2, we have $20,524 left in our local grants that we can fund whatever the board would decide to fund. That eliminates the verticals and the task force are not included. The Gilbert PD grant would be about $6,600, so that will leave the board with about $13,000 left in that appropriation to fund grants throughout the year. And what we're looking at normally going through the rest of the year, the $13,900, almost $14,000, would give the board flexibility to fund some public awareness if vin etching equipment came. In other words, we get some requests for vin etching. Also, we'd like to leave a little bit of money at the end of the year to fund the training in Laughlin. And that should give us plenty of money for the board to go ahead and fund several vin etching systems if they needed to, and give us money to support the training. And I think Laughlin is usually pretty inexpensive for the training, so we could probably support quite a load of people to go. And we don't have the Sims money anymore, so that will now come out of our regular grant money. So there shouldn't be any negative impact financially if the board would like to approve the grant. And I guess with that, I'll turn it over to Chief Solberg to answer any specific questions that I'm not aware of. Chief?
My understanding of how it works, and correct me if I'm wrong, Anna, is we're using AZ Family to target online ads based on zip codes, based on where the URL is registered. It can recognize that they're within that zip code, and that they'll have targeted ads similar to what we have on the billboards, and focus on that message within those areas where we're seeing the spikes within our vehicle burglaries and stolen vehicles.
Great, and thanks, Chief. And on page 4, they actually have kind of a multi-step plan of action. In addition to the over-the-top streaming videos that will go out to folks that have AZ Family on their phones and apps, or stream it live from home from one of their streaming devices, these will be 30-second non-skippable ads. And my understanding is AZ Family is going to work with Gilbert PD to help produce those. But they also have kind of a four-step plan. They want to design those mirror tags to remind residents to lock up their valuables, create partnership opportunities. I know that they've got some free oil and lube changes that have been donated that they're going to try to incentivize folks out in those areas, especially reward them if they're seeing good behavior. The over-the-top marketing, and create social posts regarding prize winners and stories about victims. So I know Vicki Faber out in Gilbert PD has been a longtime crime prevention partner of ours, and I think this first stab at this type of marketing project is very exciting, and I think it's a perfect place for us to kind of do a test, do a little pilot project, and see for a pretty low cost investment we could maybe push this out to some other. I know the West Valley is having similar situations with vehicle burgs and people not locking their doors, so we're really excited about it. And I think we just now need a motion, unless there's any other questions.
Yeah, and I'll recuse myself.
My only question is it doesn't really hit vehicle theft, and I would sure like to see it hit vehicle theft along with vehicle burglary. Yeah, they all go together, but we are the auto theft authority, and I would sure like to see auto theft put on there someplace.
And we could look to incorporate more of the auto theft and vehicle burglaries.
Right.
And what we see is most of our stolen vehicles are from the unlocked vehicles.
Right.
They're looking for guns and any valuables, obviously. And if the keys are in there, then they'll take it as well. So we could just incorporate more of the auto theft message in addition to the vehicle burglaries.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, you know, we had some discussion in Durango about this very thing, and so Gilbert is not alone, Arizona's not alone in this. Just whole, you know, some stories about crews that just run up and down neighborhoods checking doors, and with the intent of stealing what's in there, but they're crimes of opportunity. And so if they find a key fob or a set of keys in there, or are able to somehow get the car going. So I would agree. I think, you know, the sense that from what I'm hearing is that, you know, we've always talked about auto theft, but it's really about, you know, vehicle crime now, because one thing naturally leads to the next. So
I agree.
Just anecdotally, I guess, I live in Gilbert and I'm part of one of those ring neighborhoods, and I've seen this happen where they do. You know, people bail out of the cars and they're busy checking handles and whatnot. So, Mr. Broges, I think you're right on point as far as the auto theft, but I think this is probably a well-designed and hopefully well-executed program we've got here.
My understanding is a lot of times people leave the spare key to the other car in the car, because then you can't steal this car because this isn't the key, but then they go and steal the other car. So I do think it's all part and parcel of that behavior. I agree that that's a good point.
Any other commentary? All in favor of, oh, I'm sorry, you're going to recuse yourself. So all in favor of grant 1871.
I think he's telling the motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, let's back up. Do we have a motion to approve the grant?
I'll make a motion to approve the grant and as approved by the staff.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, you've got it. And that's, would that be it for your report, Ms. Moore?
Okay.
Ms. Armstrong.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, October has just wrapped up, and I know Amanda's been busy with not just October gain events, but VIN etching events. And so I'm sure she's happy to see October wrap up. Any additional items about events that you attended, Amanda, that you want to share?
This year we attended three main gain events. We attended the Casa Grande gain event, followed up by the Coolidge event, and Eloy this year. This year we added Eloy to the mix, and Eloy had a wonderful turnout. That was just a couple of months ago. They were really, or not months ago, weeks ago. They were really back-to-back, and so we've really hit that middle corridor between Phoenix and Tucson, who seemed to get a little bit of the dump of everything from both ends. So it was really good, really proactive. A lot of good talking with the public there and spreading out about Watch Your Car and VIN etching. All three of those agencies are recent recipients of VIN etching events, and they have been hammering the VIN etching events, including Eloy had one this past July that had a very good turnout, which is something we generally don't go out to in July. It's a little hot to touch the windows, but they found a covered area. So they'll be following up again this spring with more VIN etching events. And each of these events, we actually did a little demonstration of glass and showing folks. So we have a lot of good support and motivation for that. Coming up in December, we'll be adding El Mirage PD to our VIN etching event clients. We'll be out there the first weekend training their folks, talking to them about doing another grant for VIN etching events. And then we're starting to get requests for the spring.
Great.
Thanks, Amanda. let's see, grants. In addition to the Gilbert PD grant, we've got, as Amanda mentioned, El Mirage PD, who Amanda's been working with. They're interested in revving up their prevention campaigns again and coming to us for some support for that. So we're excited about that. The AADI training, I think there's a flyer on your packets or on top with the Arizona Auto Theft Investigators Association and the Western States Auto Theft Investigators and AADI are co-hosting their annual auto theft conference up in Laughlin, June 8th through 12th. And as Art mentioned, I believe we'll be issuing some grants for folks to be able to attend that. It's a pretty low-cost training for us, especially when we do double occupancy and have agencies that are sending multiple people, you know, double book. So we're excited about that. I know there's some other planning that's going on that the ATA will assist the association with. We've got an award ceremony going on Thursday night, as we always do, so we'll be involved in that in June. Staff, we're working on the 2019 annual report with the current stats. We've now been released. We've got grantee year-end recaps on success cases for vertical prosecution, the task force, public awareness. And so that will be produced and finalized in December. And I'll send out a link via email with the report included. The Auto Theft Authority is hosting the AADI monthly meeting next Thursday. And I just wanted to invite anyone, if you're interested in attending, please join us. It's going to be here in this conference room. Lots of great info share and current auto theft trends with what the folks, the boots on the ground are seeing out there. And so you're always welcome to attend those. We try to host once a year as a location now that we've got this space. So Yuma PD just hosted an event last Saturday with the task force and Chuck Ordonez from NICB, and I understand they did 81 vehicles down there and had a great response. Yuma PD was once one of our original very active prevention agencies. They're still using the old Mark and Guard system, which they have been able to keep rolling. And we just supply them with the acid cream because it's basically the same acid cream no matter what the system is. So they, I think, are planning an additional event in the spring because they had such a great outcome. So that's exciting. And one last thing, I want to congratulate Amanda, who is going to be an ASU graduate very, very soon, next month. I had the announcement waiting on my desk when I arrived from Colorado this morning, and I was so excited for her. So congratulations, she's worked really hard. So our newest soon-to-be college grad. Yay! And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Okay, subcommittees. Chief Goldberg.
Nothing to add.
Public awareness, that's your brother. I'll follow suit with nothing to add on the legislative subcommittee. Vertical prosecution.
Mr. Vice Chair, members of the board, you know we always have something to say. I think Ann said on the phone we have Alan Quist from Pinal County. Alan, do you have anything you want to report?
Yes, just briefly, we've had a pretty good month or two this past month. Prosecuted a couple different guys, got some convictions of 8 years on a Wayland Duarte. We stole a couple different vehicles and also dabbled in some fraudulent schemes, making bad checks. So yeah, we're keeping up the work here in Pinal County. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And Ryan, are you still on the phone for Pima County?
I am. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. You have anything you want to share with us?
I don't have much of an update today. I'll add that we just finished up a case on Michael McKeever. He was a auto theft task force, DPS task force arrest. He's not a repeat auto thief. However, he does have four other prior felony convictions, residential burglaries, ag assaults, some weapons offenses. So this is a guy we wanted to get off the street. He got sentenced yesterday to 5.5 years in prison. So some good work there, and we're continuing that. So thank you, everyone. And I have noticed the billboards that the Auto Theft Authority has purchased down here in Tucson. I drive by one every day on the way to work.
Nice.
Thank you, thank you, Ryan. Everyone looks very pleased to hear you say that. Is there anyone else on the phone for vertical prosecution? I think that was it. Okay, and then here in the room, we have Misty Foth from Maricopa County. You have anything you want to tell us, Misty?
I do, Mr. Vice Chairman, members of the board. I actually brought a couple of big cases I wanted to discuss, but while I was sitting here, I got some exciting news from the court on a case that is very long coming. I, back in 2016, inherited a very complicated task force case regarding VIN switching stolen Harley motorcycles. We dubbed it the Ultralight case. Detective McNulty was the case agent. He's been retired 3 years. That's how old this case has been. I had about a 3.5-4 hour restitution hearing on Friday where we battled it out on the restitution front, because a bunch of insurance companies came in, State Farm being one of them, requesting restitution, and defense counsels fought it tooth and nail. Today, while I was sitting here, I got the minute entry from the court awarding State Farm the $19,309.53 in restitution that they had taken under advisement. Dairyland Insurance was awarded $25,295.58. Top Spoke, a private business company, was awarded $22,778.50, and we're still waiting to hear about Progressive's award, but it's been a very fabulous end to a very long coming case. So I wanted to share that with everybody, because I thought that was very exciting when I got that minute entry while we were starting the meeting here. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Misty. And the only thing I had to add was, I know at the last meeting, I think I talked about a trial I had just done where they were fleeing from the police in a stolen car, and DPS was trying to stop them, and they were shooting at the police. So they did get sentenced last Friday, and the driver got a total of 21 years, and the passenger that was shooting at the police got a total of 45 years, and 44 of those have to be flat, and then 1 year is subject to the 85%. So that was a good outcome for us. And I don't have anything else to
I would like to add, for the AADI seminar that in 2020, we will try to get our prosecutors there and have a little breakout working group amongst themselves if there's anything that they want to share and discuss. So I'll work with Bob, Sergeant Bowers, and try to figure out best day or time for that.
That would be great. And I think that AADI has actually reached out to our task force attorneys about maybe doing a training at the conference, so they're pretty
great.
Excited about that.
Great. Yeah. Wonderful.
Thank you. Captain Ittner.
Mr. Vice Chairman, members of the board, good morning. My name is Paul Ittner. I'm a captain with the Arizona Department of Public Safety and the task force commander. Did attend the regional Auto Theft Prevention Authority meeting with Mr. McGuffin and members of the staff here. One of the things that we did come out was we do have a lot of similarities with our counterparts in Colorado and New Mexico. And one of the things that we came away from that was we're going to make a concerted effort to exchange information and also exchange information not only on cases but with each other in regards to points of contact. We have people, we've identified people that are going across and affecting both jurisdictions, and we're going to make that effort to work together. So if we have something in Colorado or if they have something in Arizona, we will have those points of contact where we can utilize each other and our resources and our skill sets. The other thing we also looked at was best practices in regards to our policies, procedures, and even our tactics, and trying to understand, you know, is there a way we can improve our best practices overall? And we're going to exchange our training plans and look at maybe thinking outside the box in regards to some of our training overall. And also a point separately is that I have seen those boards on I-10 and Elliott, so the other night, so they are up there. And Mr. Myers, we're glad to assist with anything we can to help spend your money.
Very effective.
So for, in our regards to our task force activities, since our last meeting in September 20th, we've had 272 stolen vehicles recovered. We're down a little bit from this time from last year. It's about 17 less or fewer. We had an estimated value of return, our recovery return is about $4 million. However, last year was $3.6 million. I attribute that is basically we're seeing less of the older Honda Accords, and we're looking at more of the higher end vehicles that we are recovering. So that value is, even though we have fewer recoveries, the values have actually gone up in price. And then since January 1st of this calendar year, we've had 1,482 stolen. And with only about 47 days left in this calendar year, we may even surpass our number of recoveries from last year, May. We are, the last several months, we've had an increase in the number of recoveries. However, beginning of the month or the beginning of the calendar year, we actually were a little bit lower. So we're kind of at a little bit of a deficit during this time. Our arrests are actually down. We've had 55 this particular period of time. And compared to that, we have had 82 last year. Some of that is that we've been in training. We've transitioned to a new system in regards to our CAD and records management system. So we focus our, a lot of our time trying to train and get up to speed in regards to inputting that data and working with that new system. I've had probably noted probably about 16, 17 different significant events, but for brevity, I'm also only going to cover about four of them. On Tuesday, September 24th, we get a call from Phoenix PD, and Marcus Patterson became the base detective and ran with us. They had a residential burglary in Ahwatukee where two of the 2014 Lexuses were stolen. We went through to the house, Marcus Patterson processed the residents in Ahwatukee, found that they had a surveillance system. He went through the video camera and saw that a U-Haul was coming up during that prior weekend and coming in over several days. And you would see when they came in, who was coming in, and we identified that U-Haul when it was rented. We were able to track and locate one of the suspects. The suspect was a female suspect who had worked for the property owner. The property owner was on vacation, had posted on social media that they were out of country. This person was still monitoring the person's social media accounts and came back with her boyfriend, and they ended over several days taken basically a truckload of property from the house and also two of the Lexuses. We sent surveillance to the house. We found a U-Haul that was there. At this time, they had stripped all the markings off of the U-Haul except for the bumper number. The U-Haul was stolen and it had been reported stolen. We recovered the U-Haul, arrested the female suspect along with the 2004, one of the 2014 Lexuses that was on property. We were able to find the other 2014 stolen Lexus with the female's boyfriend, followed through Phoenix, Tempe, Mesa. And at one point he actually ditched the vehicle into apartment complex. We were involved in a short foot pursuit and subsequently he was tased. And he was taken into custody. On Wednesday, October 2nd, we assisted Homeland Security and the Attorney General's office in regards to a case involving importation of Mexican plated or VIN plated vehicles. And we ended up serving research warrants at three different Phoenix dealerships. Two were in Scottsdale and one was in Phoenix. We were there to assist in identifying those vehicles. We identified 17 vehicles that had been imported from Mexico illegally, and they were being basically sold to unsuspecting buyers. That they were basically, there were a vehicle that was a 2014, for example, 2014-2018 brand new truck with only 3,000 or 4,000 miles, and they were selling them as still new. We recovered, like I said, 17 vehicles at that time. Wednesday, October 23rd, our detectives here in Phoenix located a stolen vehicle in Phoenix at a hotel. We followed it through Chandler, Mesa, Tempe, and then back into Mesa. And it went to a charter high school. The male suspect went into the high school with a backpack. We set up surveillance and watched what was going on. He came back out. There was another person that came in. We arrested three suspects. One was the original driver. The other one was a secondary driver. And another one was a juvenile. Actually, all three were juveniles. And the other one was with some drugs on that person. The original driver was the juvenile, had a loaded 45 caliber handgun that he had actually taken into the school. So he was also charged with that. We had another case where we located a stolen vehicle. We set up surveillance. Phoenix PD tried to make a traffic stop in Phoenix on Van Buren. The vehicle did not yield. actually did not accelerate until after two blocks after did not yield and driving normally. Once Phoenix PD turned off their lights, they actually took off, ran through a red light about 3 miles down the road. The vehicle had actually collided with an occupied taxi cab and crashed through the intersection. The vehicle continued further east, abandoning that vehicle, and we received several 911 calls from surveillance cameras at that bank, and we were able to locate that person, who the suspect, who actually is left the vehicle unattended and was trying to hide in an unsecured Tahoe. He was put up a little bit of a struggle, and he was tased again and taken into custody. Lucky for the people that was involved in the crash and the hit and run at the intersection, nobody was hurt. It was minor damage, just enough to disable the vehicle. We were involved in a shooting of a dog at a search warrant on November 2nd. Detectives approached the house, and at that time, the residents, not the property owners, but the residents of the property were saying that there's the owner's dog is in the backyard. It is vicious. It is a pet bull. They said that we don't touch that person's dog. He's on his own. We don't even like to open it up, but he should be secured in the backyard. Unbeknownst to the residents, for some reason, one of the doors was open. That dog came through the house and approached the detectives, and we also had a canine deployed at that time. And during that time, the dog actually was shot after it lunged after one of the canines and one of the detectives. Now, the police canine was not hurt, our detectives were not hurt, although the dog succumbed to the two gunshot wounds. And then I don't know if you guys saw on TV last week, on last Friday, the DPS pursuit that was being filmed. It wasn't a pursuit. We were just following it, and we had trying to have Phoenix and DPS try to get a marked vehicle up to it. The only pursuit was probably 2 feet, if that, once the vehicle was stopped, the lights turned on. But that was a non-pursuit, and we ended up recovering an occupied stolen vehicle. So, do we have any questions or
slow news day
comments?
Just love it when stories have happy endings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good job.
We've been blessed so far. Thank you.
Thank you. Call to the public. Anybody wishing to address the board?
Mr. Vice Chair, I just want to commend AATA on the Lock It or Lose It campaign. I think that's something that's very easy to remember. It sticks in the mind. I would encourage all of the members of the board to, you know, encourage kind of a promulgation of that Lock It or Lose It slogan to everyone. I wonder if the authority has maybe approached the Department of Transportation about even including some of that badging on the highway overhead signs. I know that their focus is probably more on traffic safety, but maybe on the weekend days when traffic safety is, you know, concerns are lessened, maybe, and especially when the vehicle theft concern is heightened, maybe ADOT might be willing to work with us.
Great, thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Any other commentary? Okay. Should we, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Actually, just quick, attended the International Association of Auto Theft Investigators in Scotland last month. That's the reason I wasn't here. But was given some coins and stuff from the authority. All went out. Very appreciative. They thought the coins were great. And next year, International is in Chicago. And the year after, and anybody really doesn't want to go to Chicago, the year after that is back in Colorado, and they're already planning. I think you already probably got that information. And Colorado and the Western states do a great job of doing international. And, you know, just to give you that information. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Great. Happy holidays.
Yo. Oh my gosh.
Do you remember International?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love International.
Pretty good.
I know, great.
Good job, Scott.
Yes, thank you.